And now, back to Janet Mefford Live. Janet Mefford Live on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. It was just a month ago that Dr. Russell Moore, head of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, wrote an article for the Washington Post saying, if Donald Trump has done anything, he has snuffed out the religious right. But yesterday, even progressives began chatting again about the death of the religious right having been greatly exaggerated. So which is it? We're going to get some thoughts on it now from Tim Wildman, president here at the American Family Association. So great to have you here, Tim.
Hey, Janet, how you doing today?
I am doing great. So what do you think? Has the religious right been snuffed out by Donald Trump? What are your thoughts?
No, it's been emboldened.
there you go.
Hello. What election are you watching? I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people like Russell Moore. By the way, Russell Moore, he's the, what's the name of the group he's in charge of?
The ERLC, the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission.
You know, I don't know if I've ever talked about this publicly, but now's the time to do it. I don't know Dr. Moore. I'm sure he's a wonderful person. And I know people who have known him. Very nice guy. But when he took over that position for Dr. Richard Land. You remember that?
I do.
Okay. Dr. Richard Land was a great friend of our ministry and a personal friend of my dad for years and years. Just a warrior for the pro-family Christian cause. Dr. Land, I'm talking about. And so he left to go do another job, and Dr. Russell Moore got Dr. Land's position in Nashville at that Southern Baptist office there. And I called Dr. Russell Moore's office to congratulate him. I didn't know him. I called him to congratulate him on his new role there. He moved from Southern Seminary in Louisville, I think, down to Nashville to take that job.
Right.
And he was a fellow Mississippian from the Gulf Coast. I'm from North Mississippi, and I'm a little bit older than he is, but I just called him. Say hello and introduce myself and say, hey, we would like to work, continue to have a good working relationship with your group, with the Southern Baptists, as we always have here at AFA and AFR. And so the guy never called me back. Hmm. I called three times, and they always had an excuse why he wouldn't talk to me. Oh, he's busy. Oh, he's got a board meeting. I finally got the picture.
Yeah,
he didn't want to talk to me because he didn't like us here at AFA and AFR, and that was confirmed by later things that he said and did, although I don't think he ever named us by name. But and I'm only mentioning this because he went public with his death pronouncement for the quote, religious right, and he's talking about groups like ours,
yes.
For example.
Right.
And he was wrong because I'm going to tell you something. We, Family Research Council and others, yeah, we've been dealing with some tough stuff over the last few years. But you know what? And the religious right, that can often be used as a derogatory term,
yes.
You know, to make you seem some kind of extremist. And to the secular left, we are extremists. But religious right, I don't always like to be called that. But hey, whatever you want to call us, we're not dead. In fact, Janet, I would say, I said emboldened, I would say the numbers for Christian conservatives who feel strongly about the culture and politics has remained about what it's been. But the problem is we've been struck down by the courts. We've won victories. 30 plus states had marriage amendments defining marriages between man and a woman. The courts are the ones that have struck down so many of our victories that we had. So the quote religious right is not dead. The demise is greatly exaggerated. What am I quoting from right there? Is that what famous novel?
You yeah, know that I'm was saying? Mark Twain, I believe, originally said
my
that.
My demise is greatly exaggerated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know why Dr. Moore wants to write those kinds of things.
Well, you know, one of the things that seems to come out again and again in his writings is the concern about politics replacing the gospel. And you can go off on a little bit of a discussion
about how
political Russell Moore is, but that's another subject altogether. What about this charge, though, that if you get involved in conservative politics and are concerned about the direction of the republic, that what you are basically doing is putting the gospel underneath politics. I don't see a biblical case to be made for that, because I think we are salt and light. We have to get out. We have to have an influence on where we live and the republic in which we reside for the sake of our kids and our grandkids and all the rest. What about this notion, though, that you are subverting the gospel by caring about politics?
That's just nuts. That's such a straw man. Raise your hand out there listening to us. You love the Lord, you go to church, and you try to practice your Christian faith, and you read your Bible, but yet you care about what goes on in politics. How many of you have made it an idol? Raise your hand out there. Okay. Maybe you've made food an idol. I don't know, or sports, but politics, no. You know what? We just care and we get involved and we happen to be Christians and we act on our Christian convictions. I try not to judge anybody's faith by who they vote for. Janet, I just think that's ridiculous. I think Christians are just as free to get involved in politics as anybody. I don't go up to a candidate and ask him to recite the Nicene Creed, and if he doesn't, I say you herefore unable to run for office. I mean, we're just doing the best we can to implement our values and promote our values as much as anybody else. That's all we're doing out here. Sometimes we win, sometimes we lose, but we haven't compromised the gospel. The gospel can't be compromised, I don't think, through a person like that.
Right.
Anyway,
well, some people have pointed to evangelical leaders who immediately got on what they like to call the Trump train. And then there were a lot of people who got on later, if you want to phrase it that way. And so the insinuation from some quarters is that because you didn't hold the line, not you, Tim, but in general, those who are doing this didn't hold the line hard enough on, you know, all the conservative social issues. But I look at it as you do the best you can do. I mean, you can talk about when people got on the train, but in the end, politics is about compromise. Is it not? It's not about a perfect ideological
choice.
It never has been.
No, it never has. Listen, if you want to hold a purity, doctrinal purity in your church, you should. Yeah. You should, okay? And you can control that. Too, by the way. All right, you want a pastor that subscribes to your church doctrine? You can control that. You want elders and deacons and leaders that are morally upright? You should expect that, and you should vote for that. I mean, you should see that. Go to a church that has those kinds of high standards. In your family, you're the father or the mother. You have control of the spiritual attitude and direction of your home, and you're responsible for it, and you have direct control of that. That does not apply to government. It does not apply to government. You know what, Janet? We're working with worldly people. The general public decides who our leaders are. Am I right?
Yeah. Yes,
so,
you're right.
Okay. Yep. So some of us happen to be Christians. If you want to get involved in the government, in politics, you're going to be working with people who are going to have a martini at 5 o'clock, but maybe they're going to vote like you do. You have to put together enough people to win elections to implement, and I'm saying you can't have a martini and be a believer. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying you're dealing with secular-minded people sometimes that you have to work with in order to have enough people to get what you want to be done. So it's a whole different world out there in the world of politics and government, and it's amazing to me the people who have this standard of doctrinal purity and want to apply it to politics and government, you don't see them for 4 years at the Republican meetings that go on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or campaigns that put out yard signs and call people and donate money. They only come around every 4 years to say, I am not going to vote for the lesser of two evils. I will be pure and I will have my conscience. And I'm just saying, I'm not against having a conscience, but come on, let's be real. If you want to get involved in politics and government and make a difference, you've got to mix it up, and not all the people are going to be members of your church.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, everything you've said is right on the money, and you do have your Never Trumper purity voters who say I can't do either one, and they're one group. But there's also the kind of the elephant in the room, Tim, which is we have seen more progressive influence in the church in the last 10, 20 years. And I wonder if for some of these guys, the real problem is not politics. The real problem is you're not voting the way I would. And that's just kind of the unspoken thing. You know, we do have evangelical leaders who were for Hillary Clinton. And, you know, for us, we would say, how could you support somebody who's radically pro-abortion, radically pro-LGBT, and wants open borders and, you know, really ought to be locked up, I mean, for crime. So,
yeah,
you know, it goes both ways. I think that it's not as clear cut as many of these people think, that they just accuse the so-called religious right of being compromisers. I think there's a lot of blame to go around, perhaps.
I don't want to be a compromiser. Nobody prides himself on being a compromiser. But in the world of politics and government, it's a necessity. Now, you try to hold a standard, you try to hold to principle, and there are lines that you get to, well, you all have, where we say, you know, I can't cross that line, right. Okay? But you have to rally yourself a lot of latitude in the area of government and politics to get things done, because you have to build coalitions. It's like being a part of a school board, for example. You go into a school board and you get elected to the school board, or you have to vote, do you go check what they believe, your school board member, or do you think what's best for that school and you think they're a good person? You know what I'm saying?
You don't
check their church attendance records necessarily. I just think we have to allow a little grace, some leeway when it comes to government politics. It's not the same thing as family life or church life.
Well said. Tim Wildman, thanks a lot, Tim. Always great to talk to you. Appreciate it. We'll be back on Janet Mefford Live. Stay with us.